Trying my absolute damnedest to keep pace with Doc Kelly, I burst out of the dark alley at unnatural speed and ran straight into some dude wearing a cheap Santa suit. With a look of pure terror plastered on his face, the poor bastard careened backward, screaming bloody murder right up until he tripped over a plastic reindeer and face-planted on the sidewalk. After that, he was pretty quiet. Apparently, the blunt force of the blow knocked the wind out of him. And I might have accidentally kneed him in the balls. At least once. Maybe twice. Definitely not more than 3 or 4 times. Jumping to my feet with an awkward smile on my face, the surrounding crowd of passers-by gasped as I helped the faux Saint Nick to his feet. "Sorry, pal," I muttered. "Merry Christmas." After he responded with nothing but a spirited hand gesture and a few choice expletives, the crowd gasped again at his Grinch-worthy behavior. "Quit dicking around with the locals!" Doc's voice boomed from the Rooster Tech-infused communication device buried in my right ear. "We're losing him." Looking up, I caught a glimpse of her petite frame sprinting through the late-night traffic before she ducked into the alley across the street. "Maybe if you slowed down a little bit."
"Maybe if you kept up a little bit," she grumbled. "We'd be done with this already."
Making the mental note that fake Santa wasn't the only one acting a little grinchy tonight, I bit my tongue and dashed across the street. Pulling up on Aaron's flank, she motioned for me to stop as she peered into the darkness of the alley ahead of us.
"What is it?" I whispered.
"He's here,"
she whispered back. Squinting into the looming night, I struggled to see anything besides a few dumpsters lining the walls of the adjacent brick buildings.
"You sure?"
"Yep.
You smell that?"
I sniffed the air, and my nostrils were immediately assaulted by the familiar stench you'd expect to find in a downtown alleyway.
"Piss?"
she groaned.
"Cologne."
I sniffed again. "Not cologne, unless it smells like piss and garbage with a lingering hint of ass." Before she could say anything else on the matter, a hulking silhouette stood up from behind one of the dumpsters, and a deep, guttural voice shouted,
"It's sandalwood body spray, douchebag."
And then the big bastard picked up the dumpster like it was made of cardboard and threw it at us before bounding into the darkness and out of sight. Typical. Leaping out of the way of the 3-ton metal box soaring towards us, Doc shook her head and glared at me. I shrugged.
"What?" "We're here to help these people, Dean. Do you think maybe you could take it down a notch or two?"
"Wait, are you insinuating this is my fault?"
"No, I'm asking you to be more..."
"You think it's my fault they always run, don't you?" She sighed.
"How long have we been doing this for?"
"I don't know. A couple of months."
"7 months."
"Okay, and?"
"And every time you talk to them, they run."
"That's not true."
"It's totally true. You know it is. You frighten them. Like back at the docks, for example."
"No, no, no. I had that situation completely under control."
"Did you?"
"Absolutely."
"Then why are we still chasing this guy through downtown Pensacola?"
"Because he decided to run."
"And you don't think you had anything to do with that?"
"Are you serious? I simply asked the big dope to come with us for his own safety."
"That's not what happened, Dean."
"That's exactly what happened, Doc."
"You pointed a shotgun at his balls and said, 'Come with me if you want to live,' in your ridiculous Arnold Schwarzenegger voice."
I grinned. "Too much?" She groaned for a second time as a chirp of static buzzed from our earpieces.
Guys? Came Charlie's cheerful voice after an awkward pause. "Don't mean to interrupt whatever it is you're doing right now, but Billy and I tracked the target to a warehouse a couple blocks north."
Doc tapped their earpiece.
"Thanks, Charlie. At least somebody's on their game tonight. Lead the way."
"Follow the alley to the next intersection and take a hard left,"
he said, as the unmistakable sound of massive wings flapping through the night sky could be heard above the rooftops. I looked up, just in time to see the muted silhouette of our resident she-dragon glide past. Exchanging determined glances with Doc, we moved through the dank darkness until reaching a dimly lit street devoid of people. Hooking a left and staying to the shadows of the sidewalk, I caught another glimpse of Billy's massive frame as she and Charlie touched down on top of a sizable warehouse-like building a block or so in front of us. And within a second or two, she simply vanished.
"How does she do that?" I asked.
Doc shrugged.
"Do what?"
"Make herself invisible."
"She's a literal dragon. Her body's covered in indestructible scales. She can fly,